Chapter 1. How does one organize an expedition? What equipment is taken? What source is read? What are the little dangers and the large ones? No one has ever written this. The information is not available. The design is simple as the design of a well-written book. Your expedition will be enclosed in the physical framework of start, direction, ports of call, and return. These you can forecast with some accuracy. And in the better-known parts of the world, it is possible to a degree to know what the weather will be in a given season, how high and low the tides, and the hours of their occurrence. One can know within reason what kind of boat to take, how much food will be necessary for a given crew for a given time, what medicines are usually needed, all this subject to accident, of course. We had read what books were available about the Gulf, and they were few, and in many cases confused. The coast pilot had not been adequately corrected for some years. A few naturalists with specialties had gone into the Gulf and, in the way of specialists, had seen nothing they hadn't wanted to. Clavijero, a Jesuit of the 18th century, had seen more than most and reported what he saw with more accuracy than most. There were some romantic accounts by young people who had gone into the Gulf looking for adventure and, of course, had found it. The same romantic drive aimed at the stockyards would not be disappointed. From the information available, a few facts did emerge. The Sea of Cortez, or the Gulf of California, is a long, narrow, highly dangerous body of water. It is subject to sudden and vicious storms of great intensity. The months of March and April are usually quite calm and dependable, and the March to April tides of 1940 were particularly good for collecting in the littoral. The maps of the region were self-possessed and confident about headlands, coastlines, and depth, but at the edge of the coast they became apologetic, laid in lagoons with dotted lines, supposed and presumed their boundaries. The coast pilot spoke as heatedly as it ever does about mirage and treachery of light. Going back from the coast pilot to Clavijero, we found more visual warnings in his accounts of ships broken up and scattered, of wrecks and wayward currents, of 50 miles of sea more dreaded than any other. The coast pilot, like an elderly scientist, cautious and restrained on one side, and the old monk, setting down ships and men lost and starvation on the inhospitable coasts. In time of peace in the modern world, if one is thoughtful and careful, it is rather more difficult to be killed or maimed in the outland places of the globe than it is in the streets of our great cities. But the atavistic urge toward danger persists, and its satisfaction is called adventure. However, your adventurer feels no gratification in crossing Market Street in San Francisco against the traffic. Instead, he will go to a good deal of trouble and expense to get himself killed in the South Seas. In reputedly rough water, he will go in a canoe. He will invade deserts without adequate food, and he will expose his tolerant and uninoculated blood to strange viruses. This is adventure. It is possible that his ancestor, wearying of the humdrum attacks of the saber tooth, longed for the good old days of pterodactyl and triceratops. We had no urge toward adventure. We planned to collect marine animals in a remote place on certain days and at certain hours indicated on the tide charts. To do this, we had, insofar as we were able, to avoid adventure. Our plans, supplies, and equipment had to be more, not less, than adequate, and none of us was possessed of the curious boredom within ourselves which makes adventurers, or bridge players. Our first problem was to charter a boat. It had to be sturdy and big enough to go to sea, comfortable enough to live on for 6 weeks, roomy enough to work on, and shallow enough so that little bays could be entered. The purse seiners of Monterey were ideal for the purpose. They are dependable workboats with comfortable quarters and ample storage room. Furthermore, in March and April, the sardine season is over and they are tied up. It would be easy, we thought, to charter such a boat. There must have been nearly 100 of them anchored in back of the breakwater. We went to the pier and spread the word that we were looking for such a boat for charter. The word spread all right, but we were not overwhelmed with offers. In fact, no boat was